It's around that time right here on KAZ Radio, where I have one of my most favorite shows, Sisters of Leisure, with Tracy and Michelle. Take it away, sisters.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Sisters of Leisure. My name is Tracy, where we are living every day and seeking and understanding real events. And I'd like to say, happy new beginnings. The trees are blooming and the weather is absolutely amazing. I hope you all had a great day on today.
Yes. Yes, and I am Michelle, the little sister, and I have the pleasure today, because I consider Erin a friend, to introduce Erin to Sisters of Leisure. She is Erin Jones. She is a licensed social worker. Well, no, a LCSW, and I explain those words in just a little bit. And she's the owner of Epiphany Concepts and Consulting. Erin is a trendsetter. Erin is beautiful, smart. And so, Erin, thank you so much for joining, gracing us on Sisters of Leisure to talk about some things. We're going on women's, National Women's History Month. We've got you, a counselor and for mental health. So, you know, Erin, tell us a little bit about your company, Epiphany Concepts and Consulting.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you both for having me. I'm so excited. When you asked me, I was so excited to be with you guys, because y'all are just so awesome to me. Like, even though I don't know Tracy as well as I know you, like, I still feel very connected to you guys. We got a lot of similarities. I love my sister too. Like, y'all love each other. So we'll check each other. Like, I know how that sister love thing goes. So I was just excited, you know, for the invitation to come on. Y'all excuse my voice, it's a little raspy today, but my company, I started it, okay, so I sing, which is why my voice sounds like this. So I really started this, funny enough, it was like Epiphany Productions. It was gonna be like songwriting and music producing and, you know, all of these kinds of things. And just throughout life and my career, it changed more into a focus on mental health. And I believe at some point the music and the mental, like all of that's gonna marry one day, connect one day. But for right now, what I do, I'm in private practice part-time. And I also do a lot of consulting with hospice agencies and also doing anxiety groups. I have a grief support group that's about to get started back up because it has stopped because of COVID, of course. And just really, it was initially just an initiative to educate people about mental health, you know, erase some of the stigma and the negativity that's associated with it. And so I've been like officially in business private practice. It'll be a year this month on the 22nd. And then just doing all of the other various efforts for about 5 years. So just looking to grow that, expand that, and just be open, you know, to God's leading on, you know, what direction is next.
Yeah. Because Erin, you know, you said you want to help erase that stigma of mental health. And that is huge. That's a big feat. You know, you know, to even say that, and it's a beautiful thing that you said, because, you know, that's something that we kind of like take advantage of or don't really like. I don't know how to really attack it, not necessarily attack it, but how to bring on the conversation or even get someone to understand what mental health is, you know, it for them, you know.
Right. And I think typically when we think about mental health, most of the time when we say mental health, people don't think of mental health. They think of the disorders associated with it. So they, and then when they think of it, it's the things far to the left. You know what I'm saying? Like schizophrenia, you know, bipolar disorder with psychotic features, like those things that if you don't understand can be really scary and really frightening. So when we talk about mental health, we're talking about everything. We're talking about how I feel when I come home, you know, from a day's work. We're talking about how I parent, how I show up at my job, how I show up in relationships, all of those kinds of things. We're talking about self-care. We're talking about, you know, our spiritual health, which is very heavily tied with our mental health as well. So it's so big. And I think the only way to attack it, if you look at like prejudice, like discrimination, different things like that, it happens most of the time because we don't understand it and because we're ignorant of things. So I think the more we talk about it, the more it will be normalized. And I'm loving seeing, number one, more Black and Brown people accessing mental health services, and that the conversation is a part of pop culture now. It's a part, there's been, you know, just more acceptance. So I'm always excited, you know, about that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's important to bring awareness to the mental health community. So where do you think you'll go and how in doing that? Do you do empowerment seminars or things like that?
So I just made a decision to get even more into my business. So little by little, I'm letting go of like a formal job. Like I want to be in this thing full time. So let's go ahead and just put that in the atmosphere.
We're going to put it out there.
Yes.
Yeah, that's happening. And to be honest, I grew up in church, and that is Black people's answer for everything. Prayer is the answer, you know, about everything. And there's another licensed clinical social worker she's heavily affiliated with, Bishop Jakes and Sarah Jakes Roberts, named Dr. Anita Phillips. And she has a shirt that says, prayer is the weapon, but therapy is the strategy. Mm. So it's like marrying both of those. They don't have to be mutually exclusive. That's the case where it's a both and. I pray and I go to therapy. You know, It doesn't have to be either or. So I think continuously, that's a space for me as a church girl that I have a heart for, to go back to churches and talk about, you know, after the prayer line is over and after the service is over and I'm at home living my everyday life, I don't want to always have to escape to church to enjoy my life.
Yes.
Like I want to enjoy my life every day.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think I remember just a little bit about myself. I was dealing heavily with anxiety and depression for a long before I really even knew that was what it was in me. But particularly,
Were you a therapist at the time?
I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's just like, it was during and after the time my dad was ill. And it just, for whatever reason, I think I had just taken so much and dealt with so much and thought, oh, well, I'm helping other people. So this is my therapy to help other people. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't doing really anything for myself. And when I started going to therapy and started talking about it, I was like, oh my gosh, that's trauma. Oh my God, me? Like, really? Because you get so deep in the work, sometimes you don't see as clearly, you know? And through that time, I was battling, because of my belief in spiritual stuff in church, I was battling with whether or not to take an anti-anxiety medication or an antidepressant. And my doctor told me, she was like, you know, I'm all about autonomy and you doing things your way. She said, but I just want to tell you that I think Jesus helped me get through medical school to be able to prescribe things that help people. And it may not be the permanent fix. So when she said that, I was like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, just write the script. But my belief though, at the time, it was so embedded in me, that we'll just pray about it and that God can heal, but he can use therapy and he can use medication. And I know that's not always like a popular thing to say, but I can only speak in that regard from my experience. So
yeah. And that's, you know what, Erin, you know, you said something about, you know, your spirituality and, you know, your mental health. And so I have to say this, as a woman who, you know, I'm a mom, I got a lot of things going on. And I have to say that I was pretty wound pretty tight and didn't understand that, and didn't understand my mental health was really at risk. And I was living in stress. And it was normal for me to live in stress.
Right.
And not
when it was calm, it was abnormal. When it was calm.
Yeah. Like I'm waiting. It's too quiet. Something has to go down, right? It's about to hit.
That's good. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No.
When you say it's too quiet, something's wrong. Mm-hmm. Because you're always dealing with so many, you could say voices or just so much negativity in your ear gate. So when it was quiet, you like, I don't like this feeling.
Yeah.
because it's foreign. And the thing about anxiety, I'm actually about to start taking some more classes just because I want to understand better the connection. I want to learn more about the vagus nerve and all of these different things that are inside of us, how to quell those things. Because the thing about anxiety is always stimulating you. It's always something going on. It's in your sleep. It's in when you're clenching your jaw, when your shoulders are up high. I mean, like, it's all of the things. It's all encompassing. So I want to know, we want to get to a place we're not living balanced.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a balance. It's overdrive all the time. And so our bodies don't, when we're still and it's peaceful, we're like, I got to wash those baseboards. I got to do whatever. You know what I'm saying? Just whatever floats up. It's like, girl, take
it
out
somewhere.
You know? Yeah. Right.
Sit down. I mean, so,
I'm sorry to interrupt. This is good because me and Michelle were just talking about that. I was definitely that person. And she had been to the doctor with me and she was just like, she needs something.
Yeah.
I needed some medicine so I can relax because I didn't know how.
Right.
I just didn't know how.
And that's sad for the human race to not understand how to self-care. And that's just like either taking some time for it. So we, like, for instance, like, you was like, it's quiet. She's like, oh, well, you know, maybe I need to go ahead and throw another, like, I have to give myself permission to chill out, to relax, to be okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, give yourself permission to be okay. Because you turn on the TV, what do you see? Right now, we got COVID and war. Right? Mm-hmm. The brain is, we are constantly bombarded with something that's happening, and we have to go ahead and take time to be ourselves, to connect and understand that we it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. So I, you know what? And what can you do? What do you suggest people do to eliminate stress? Daily stress,
okay. All of the things, like, I don't know about you guys, but all of the things that I hated doing as a child are things that I need to do now. Naps. Like, having a bedtime, having a nighttime routine. Like, I would love for my mom to read me books at bedtime, but I was like, man, we gotta go to sleep. Like, you know, like, you knew it was like winding down, but now it's like, it's bedtime. It's time to put the Epsom salt in the bathtub if that's, you know, how you're going to wind down that night or whatever. But really, something that came evident to me during COVID, because we kind of, in the beginning, we didn't have anything to do but settle down. And that was causing us a lot of stress because we couldn't escape and we couldn't, you know, do all of the things. My little light went off. It's all good. We couldn't do all of the things that we used to do to escape the stillness and the calm. So creating a schedule is really, like, when we really say, and this is for me too, Michelle knows, I've always worked three jobs or more, like worked so many jobs, doing so many things to try to make sure, you know, my daughter was okay, make sure we were okay. And I just always functioned, you know, in that realm of overdrive. And I never really had a schedule. My life was really haphazard and I let life happen to me. You know what I'm saying? Instead of like getting in front of it.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, I was like, at one point in time, you know, I wanted to work out, but I was like, I don't have time. So then, you know, my friends were like, oh, we go at 5 a.m. And I was like, what? You do what? And so, but then I started going and I started liking to be up. So now, even to this day, I like to work out ahead of my day because I never know. I can have a plan what I'm going to talk about my, you know, with my clients. We can have a plan of what we're going to discuss. But what if something happened to them that was particularly heavy and they come, and the more, I mean, I'm still human. And even though I'm taking care of myself, I'm still absorbing that in our interactions. So it's like, go ahead and get your workout in, because at least you've done that. And then you can just wind down. Once your last session is over, you can wind down. You can go to bed. You can take a bubble bath if that's what you want to do, whatever it is, and then go to bed. You know, so simple things such as that, and carving out the time to do that, because a lot of times as women and mothers, we self-neglect a lot.
Yes.
Because it's taught to us in society that that's honorable. But
yes,
out here, like, my mother passed away, she was 60 years old from breast cancer, and granted, she had the triple negative, it was aggressive, all of that, but I'm a firm believer that had she really taken the time to be in tune with herself, she may have had longer. I can't say that she would still be here. I've come to a point of acceptance about that whole situation, like, at this point in my life now. But she is, in a lot of ways, I look to her, like, you know, we talked about the red lip and, you know, all of that. I look to her for guidance in that way, but I look to her too for things not to do or things that I want to do better, because I know that's what she would want from me. So we got to, as women, as moms, all of the many hats that we wear, we've got to start taking, even if it's just a little bit, I want to get up and read this book I've been wanting to read, and I'm going to have to get up earlier to do it, or I'm going to, but when you start carving out that time, it starts becoming precious to you, and then you can find yourself speaking up at work. You can find yourself telling your kids, nah, this is what we're eating tonight. I'm not overcompensating for whatever society has told me I'm not. Because I'm ready to listen to some jazz, or I'm ready to do, you know, nothing. I'm ready to chill. That's what my dad used to say. He said, I'd be like, are you off from work today, Daddy? He'd be like, yeah. He said, I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to do it real slow. And that's the kind of mentality that we need to start adopting. Seriously. Yeah. It's killing us, literally.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, if you don't get the inner work done or stay in tune with yourself, you will lose yourself. You'll find yourself dying very slowly.
Very much so.
You don't even know it. You just, you're not doing anything. You're just
living. I mean,
you're not even stimulating your mind or anything. You're just living day to day.
Yeah.
Because you're tired, because it's always something and never anything for yourself. And, you know, if we want to really get deep, spiritually speaking, the Bible even tells us, love your neighbor as who? Yourself. So that already says, I got to be right here. I got to love myself. And that's not an easy lesson in a world that's telling us to perform, to be worthy, to be great, to be whatever. So our society is performance based from children. If your baby gets, you know, this many days gold star, for performing, not just because, you know, I'm a good kid or whatever. And we internalize that stuff and we carry it, you know what I'm saying, through pride, through accomplishments and through achievements. So that was another lesson I learned when I was like in a place of like depression. I had lost my home. I was proud of that little house. It wasn't much, but it was mine. And, you know, when I started to be detached away from belongings, I really started to see how I define myself attached to those things. So it was really good for me to have been in the position. I didn't see that at the time. Let me just tell you. I didn't see that it was good at the time, but it was really good for me to reevaluate who I really am. If I don't have a house, if I don't have this, that, and the third, like, who am I really? And that, to me, in our era, we weren't exposed to so many people's lives and their business. And, oh, their marriage looks so happy. And this, look at their kid is doing so well. And, you know, oh my God, how did they go on that trip? I want to go on that trip. And, you know, and I think it's good to look at with a sense of admiration, but I don't think that's always what's happening. You know what I mean? So it's, you can be really sad about that.
You can, and you know what? You find yourself comparing. So, okay, so, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm not a big fan anymore of social media. I really don't. Like, I can take a photo. I can do a selfie. I you know, I use it for work. I use it. You know what I'm saying? It's a tool. But at the end of the day, like the other day, I decided to get in bed, have some time, and I'm scrolling. And I'm thinking to myself, if I really could go there with myself, I'm like, oh, gosh, Michelle, you missed out on a whole bunch of stuff. Like, you know, you got people here, people doing this, people, everybody's just doing and being, and you know, and I'm excited, but at the end of the day, I'm thinking to myself, you know, well, why compare yourself to what others is doing? You enjoyed yourself, you are good within you. Don't get caught up, because comparison is, it will steal your whole joy.
Yeah. Whole and entire.
And as for myself, you know, I wanted to have the perfect marriage and I wanted everything great, but it was not so great. You get what I'm saying? I wanted the numbers. I want to say I've been married 10 years. I've been married this many years, but I was miserable because I was miserable within myself. You know, it's so important. It is so important to do self-work. It is so, so important because I smile. Y'all see my beautiful teeth all the time, but y'all don't know I'm mad. You know,
right.
You know, I could be feeling some kind of way, but I just know I have a beautiful smile. So it's easy to mask whatever I'm doing with a smile.
But the person who's watching, you know, like everybody is, you know, everybody is looking at what everybody else is doing. And at the end of the day, we have all this turmoil, things that's going on, and we're really not even really taking consideration of ourselves, of our mental health, of who we are. But real quick though, Erin, you know, it's Women's History Week month. I said week, month. And so to me, it's about promoting each other, helping each other, and healing each other. You know what I'm saying? Healing, because I really do believe that we as women have a powerful, we're powerful, and we need to understand that we have a gift within us, you know? And so, you know, so tell me about, like, what is Women's History Month? What is that about? What's going on? What should we be doing?
Well, I mean, I think your synopsis is great. I mean, I think that I got all deep with this when I was thinking about it. I was like, oh my God, like I was literally just like, when you asked me, because I have cousins, like I was with two of my cousins last night, Jamila and Jandia, and they're very close. And then I thought about y'all and I thought about me and Jenny and Sherelle and all of her sisters and, you know, just groups of sisters, Shin and her, like I was just thinking. And then I had to like take a step back. And I have a friend, her name, she's a friend of a friend. Her name is Jovian. And she was saying one time in a post that she's always not leery, but it's interesting to her when she meets other women. It's like, well, you know, I don't deal well with other women and, you know, stuff like that. So even since I was young, I love like women's conferences and women's events and different stuff like that. But then I was like, why am I so into that? And I was like, well, other than being a sister myself, when I was growing up, my mom was one of eight children. It was four boys and four girls. And so it was my Aunt Dot, my Aunt Ruth, my Aunt Claire, and my mom was the baby girl. And all my life, I can remember telling my teachers when I was young, like particularly in like kindergarten and first grade, that I had four mamas, because that's really like how I felt. So there was like my Aunt Dot, she was the oldest and she was about 15 or 16 years older than my mom. So she was like a second mom to my mom. So I got off the bus at her house. My Aunt Ruth, I stayed at her house when I was a baby. Then when I had Madison, she kept Madison when I went back to work. Then my Aunt Clara is like our family nurse, like everybody that's ever been ill, you know, or whatever. Like she is the glue, and she's the only remaining sister that's still alive. And I talked to her earlier today, and she was, you know, mothering me and my brother. And those relationships were just always so important to me. And I just loved how they loved each other. And I at the time I was so young, I didn't think, oh, and they doted on my mom too, because she was the baby. And so I remember when I had Madison, well, I was pregnant, they all came and I didn't take pictures. And I that's a regret that I have. I didn't take pictures of them, but they all came and did her nursery. They were hanging curtains. And I was just looking around and just thinking, you know, like my little girl, it's coming from these girls. And my grandmother was a very sweet woman. I stayed with her when my mom went back to work. So I come from a culture where women being together was just so powerful, mm-hmm. you know? And so meeting, you know, other people that are similar in mind, when we come together, I believe that's why it's so much with us, because if we ever truly come together, get over that mean girl stuff, because that still goes on in adulthood where you're trying to disinclude people, make people feel strange and weird. Oh, y'all come over here and dress like me, but I really don't like y'all. It's just a lot. It's a lot that we need to work through. So I think if you're watching out there tonight, a challenge is just strengthen those relationships that you have in your life where you're connected with amazing women. You know, love them, support them, check in on them. Is everything okay? Can I send you a Cash App? Is everything, you know, if somebody has lost their job, like just rallying around and being a community. And I think there's just so much, you know, healing in that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, because we are powerful. We are powerful as a collective. And I know that, you know, we need each other. We really do need yes. each other. And the more and more we say that and get that out there, that as a collective, we have to support, love. And, you know, and I say this all the time. I want every little brown girl, little black girl to know that she's beautiful and that she's smart and that whatever it is that she wants, she can have, and not to feel, you know, anything but beautiful and happy about being who she is. And you know, and I want us to spread that amongst all, you know, other children.
Yes. Yeah. So how can people get in touch with you if they wanted some services?
Okay. So my website, is long. The name of it, I was like, I gotta find a way to shorten it. But right now, it's a www.epiphanyconceptsandconsulting.com, all spelled out. It's a lot of letters. You can follow me on Instagram at Erins, Erins dot Epiphany, and then Facebook, Erin Jones.
And you know what? And I don't know if you look at yourself as a new day and age therapist. I don't know. But I just say, you know, you're, you know, beautiful, you're hip, you are in a good space to help people who have a mindset or a thought of what a therapist looks like, how they're supposed to be paid. You get what I'm saying? You're like, you give it a total nother spin. You know, because you come from another, you know, I don't know. It's just, I've always admired you, Erin. You know that.
Oh, I feel the same. I feel the same. And I have to give a shout out to my daughter for keeping me hip, you know.
She's
adorable.
Like 20 years younger, like exactly. And like, you see him wearing the same flared jeans and, you know, just all of the stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like what is going on? But she keeps me abreast. And I never want to forget what it was like to be a mother at 19 or 20, or, you know, I'm never far from that. I remember those days, and I remember anxiety, and I remember what that looked like. And I always try to tell people, not only am I a therapist, I'm a client too. And I feel like being a client has made me, you know, a better therapist. People was like, you just tell all your business. Look, that was one of the feelings that I would always feel. I would feel so alone. And then yeah. I would talk to people, they'd be like, girl, me too. And I'd be like, what? You know, yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so sometimes in like what to Tracy's point about masking and like I present as very confident, I present as all these different things, but you know, I've had struggles too. So I just want everybody to know it's okay yes. to seek the help. It's okay. It's gonna make your whole life so much better.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I just want to say thank you so much, Erin, for being on Sisters of Leisure. It's been a blessing, you guys. I'm just going to say to the people of the world, please, please, please take care of your mental health. Take care yes. of your spiritual health and your physical health. It's very, very important. We thank you all so much for tuning in to Sisters of Leisure. And we please, if you need assistance or anything, please look out, contact Erin Jones for whatever you need. And we just love you all and have a good night. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you so much.
Thank you all. I enjoyed it.